Yeah. So we're in the middle of discussing the sugya of whether or not there's a cheskas bedika on Yom Yadalit or not. I want to finish that off. Go to the middle of it. Very fascinating topic. So just back to the Gemara for a minute, and then we'll move on to the next topics. So the Gemara here again, one more time, on Dalit Amud Aleph was mistapek whether or not if a home changes hands on Yom Yadalid, which is the time of the Chiyu B'dikas Chametz, whether there's a chazaka, whether there's a presumption. Now here, again, this is important for the continuation a little bit. Even though the Gemara uses the expression chazaka, it really means rov. But it's a ruba de leisa kaman rather than a ruba de isa kaman. I'll explain why this is important later on. But just very briefly, chazaka in the world of halacha means a status quo ante, which means the prevailing reality and the assumption that that persists, that that continues, that that endures. In the absence of contrary evidence, the assumption is that what was, is, remains, and I guess at least temporarily, will be. That's called mukzakus, chazaka. Then sometimes the Gemara uses the expression chazaka l'chaver she'ose, here, chazaka l'maskir, you know, shebodek. That isn't a status quo ante. It didn't happen, and the question isn't whether it persists. Here, the word chazaka is just, it's a misnomer. It means that we presume that this is what happened. It's not a continuation of a previously established status. It is a projection based on probability of what likely took place. Now, of course, probability, as we've discussed, comes in all sorts of shapes and forms. Actuarially, the numbers are different and could be qualitatively different, as we've been discussing. In some cases, we'll discuss this for a few more minutes today as well, the difference in a rove could be whether it's a ruba de isa kaman or ruba de leisa kaman, meaning is the rove concrete and tangible and in the room? You know, let's say you have 10 pieces of meat in front of you. 9 of them are kosher, 1 of them is not kosher. But they're all sitting on the table, and you know for a fact that 9 out of the 10 are kosher. That's called a ruba de isa kaman. A ruba, you know, a rove, a probability, you know, which is present. A ruba de leisa kaman would be if somebody did a poll and they established that in the world, you know, 90% of meat is kosher meat. Probably isn't. But let's say that was the poll. And then you had a piece of meat in front of you, right? So the question is it likely that it comes from the 90% or the 10%? But that's called nimtza lefaneinu. That's called a ruba de leisa kaman. Which, is there any difference? Probability-wise, there's no difference. But legally, there may be difference. In which direction? We're not going to get into that right now, but that's a very big issue. So there are different, what about a difference between, let's say, what I called last week, I believe, a conventional rove and a natural rove. And even that can be broken down further. In other words, a rove nashim misabros, right? The einan mapilos. Baruch Hashem, miscarriages are a minority. That's not a conventional rove. It's not something that is pertinent. I mean, it can change depending on, you know, people's behavior and medical knowledge and so on and so forth. But the, per se, it's based on human nature, medical, you know, typical medical standards. That's very different than what we'd call a conventional rove, which is based only on convention. There's nothing in it that has any, you know, natural propensity, excuse me, or natural proclivity. Let's say it just so happens in a certain society that the name Bob is used, in a certain way, or a certain amount of Bobs are out there, right? There's nothing natural about that. It just so happens, maybe there was a Talmud Chacham whose name was Bob, and everybody named their children after him, or maybe it was a baseball player, or something like that. But that's a convention. That's not something natural. I'm just trying to make clear, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, that while Rove probability is a single concept, right, it can be applied in very different circumstances. Now, the numbers, if all we cared about was the numbers, then it wouldn't matter. And I guess if you're an actuary, then it wouldn't matter. I'm guessing it wouldn't matter. The important thing is the risk benefit, issue. And it shouldn't matter whether it's Yisa Kaman or Leisa Kaman or, a natural rove or a convention based rove. Or other distinctions, frankly, the numbers should be the only thing that matters. But in the world of halacha, which is for sure a pragmatic system, which cares about the numbers, but it's more than that. It's also a system that cares deeply about status and stature. It's a fundamentally formalistic system, the halacha. And therefore, even if the numbers are unaffected by the nature of the rove, it's still conceivable that the halacha takes that into consideration. Especially if we're talking about the kind of things that we're talking about, which is the question of efshel levar or tzorich levar. If you have a rove or a chazaka or some other halachic principle that you are typically going to rely upon, because the halacha sanctions that reliance. And the question is, what happens in a circumstance where you have an alternative, where you can maximize your knowledge? So this is the issue that we've got to discuss. I don't want to repeat everything we said last week. I'm just trying to add a little bit of, let's say, to fill in, some of the qualitative picture of the halacha. So you could say that regarding this question, which is a major debate in the Rishonim, if efshel levar, tzorich levar, if you could clarify further or maybe gain full clarification or gain a certain level of clarification, are you obligated to do that or can you still rely on the rove? As far as that question is concerned, we care deeply about the numbers, but it's very conceivable that we also care very deeply about other things, in terms of especially the nature or the character of the factor in question, the rove, whether it's a rove or a muchzakos, whether it's a rove muchzakos or a svek sveka, whether it's a rove muchzakos svek sveka, or principle like sveka drabanan lekula or safek tuma. Harabim, Lahakel, all those things come into play and they become part of the picture. Anyways, when the Gemara here says, the Gemara really wants to know initially, is there such a chazaka? That's the first question. But they don't really mean chazaka here. Here they mean, is there such a rove? As we said just a minute ago. So when the Gemara says l'may nafkamina l'shaile, this is what we discussed the last year and a half. Gemara says, "Who cares? Ask him." So the Bach says that what the Gemara says here is, even if we can't figure out in the end whether or not there is or is not a cheskas bedika, it shouldn't matter anyway because you can always ask the maaskir. We'll believe him, and he's accessible. That's the assumption. And therefore, it's no big deal. There's no big nafkamina in this question. According to the Bach, the words, the mein nafka mina l'shaile, are value neutral when it comes to the question of efshel levar tzarich levar. They are irrelevant and consequential only in a very peripheral way in terms of whether we need to know that there's a chazaka here or not. But if there is a chazaka, mina rov, it's very conceivable that even if you have access to the masker, you're not obligated to ask him at all. Okay? That's the way the Bach read the Gemara. It's possible that's the way, as we'll see, that the Rambam read the Gemara. On the other hand, the Ran here, the Ramban and Chulin, and the Ritva here, and Beis Yosef and most of the Mefarshim, read this line in the Gemara saying, Efshel levar tzarich levar, meaning, when the Gemara says, L'mayin nafka mina l'shaile, they didn't mean, you know, what difference does it make whether there is or isn't a chazaka? You know, either way, we have an option. What it means is, what difference does it make even if you assume that there is a chazaka, right? Not, you know, even if there isn't. Even if there is, you can't rely on it as long as you have access to the maskir and you can query him. Ah, this is one of the main makoros, if you read the Gemara that way, which is what the Ramban and Chulin says, and others are influenced by him, then this is one of the main makoros to say that Efshel levar tzarich levar. Okay, so that's the way of the Gemara. So what emerges is as follows. This is what we were discussing last week, and this is what I want to finish up with right now, because the Shaka V'Tarya mostly we read. According to the Ramban, and the in Chulin, and the Ran here, and it's also Tosas here, and so on, Tosas here and Tosas in Chulin, maybe not in other words, the Shaila, but the rest, everything is totally consistent. I mean, this group, Tosas, Ramban, Ran, Rajba, that whole group think that every time Efshel levar, Tzarich levar. Okay, that's a Shita. Frankly, it's even a compelling Shita. I think most of us, if we were given the choice, our druthers, and we were asked, what do you think is more compelling? To say, Efshel levar tzarich levar, or Efshel levar eino tzarich levar, the Efshel lismoch al rov? I think most of us would have gone with the Bali Tosas and the Rambam and the Rif and the Ramban and so on, and thought that, well, if you can get greater clarity, you know, then maybe it's not a suffix. Or even if it is a suffix, but you can get a better, you know, resolution, especially if it's significantly better, either because the clarification is so superior or because the rove is so inferior or some combination thereof. I think all of us, except for maybe some contrarians, would have, thought that that's a logical view. So, if the Rif and the Rambam and the Bali Tosas, you know, hold that way generally, we're not surprised. That's a majority view, and that's the majority view in the Poskim as well. So Tosas, Ramban, Ran, they say it here, they say it there. Everything is good. The problem is, what do you do if you hold the other way? If you hold like the Bala Ma'or and the Ra'ah and the Ritva in Chulin, all of whom say, even if Efshel levar ain't tzarich levar, what do you do with our Gemara? So if you read our Gemara like the Bach, no problem. If you read the Gemara here like the Ramban and the Ran, you do have a problem. So that's what the Ritva said. The Ritva here says, I know what you're going to ask me. Given my position in Chulin, this is a difficult Gemara. So he doesn't take the Bach way out. You know, maybe if the Bach, you know, had lived earlier, maybe the Ritva would have embraced that solution. You know, maybe didn't think of it. But whatever it is, he reads the Gemara like the Ran. So what he answers is, Ein kol ha-chazakos shavos. There's a difference between different chazakos. What does he mean by that? He means the numbers. How big is the miyat? How big is the rov? Maybe. Does he mean There's a difference between, and you know, different types of rows. Very hard to know. So one of the things I was suggesting last time is that either you might say, you know, again, the question of the numbers. I was breaking it up into three different numbers. Numbers which are so compelling that we don't really, you know, take seriously the miut or the suffix at all. Like I was giving the example of crossing the street. Then there are numbers in the other direction, which we rely on, but very reluctantly. 60-40. Of course, 55-45. Maybe even 65, you know, 35. You know, it's not sufficiently compelling for many people. Right? In between those numbers are numbers that are, you could rely on them, but they don't completely dispel the suffix either. Right? So maybe what the Ritva is saying is, when it comes to that lower strata, even I agree, Efshalavar Tzarchavar. The argument with the Ramban and the Rajba and all these others is in the middle case. Because even the Ramban agrees in the case where the miut is inomotsoi bechlal, even the Ramban agrees it ain't Tzarchavar. So that's one possibility. The other possibility I was thinking of was that, you know, if you invoke the position of the Ravid on the Rif and the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, which is that Bedikas Chametz looks like a Kula on the surface, because Sveka Rabbana on the Kula, Tzedin Rabbana. However, it has a very unique also background. And that is, as the Ravid puts it, and then later he denies it in his attack against the Rambam, it's nitkana ala safek. Nitkana ala safek means that, as again, most Rabbanan just are standalone. The mitzvah of Chanukah is a mitzvah of Rabbanan, the mitzvah of Purim is a mitzvah of Rabbanan, higher Rabbanans, but Rabbanan. You know, there are many dinim Rabbanan. But B'dikas Chametz is a din Rabbanan which relates specifically to the chashash, to the possibility that there might be chametz in your rishos. So if that's what B'dikas chametz is all about, it's nitkan ala safek, which you might say is that the regular rules of safek don't apply, and that we're more machmir, at least in some respects. It's still drabanan. We still say about B'dikas chametz in our Gemara, hemnu rabanan ad rabanan. You even believe a katan if he says, I witnessed B'dikas Chametz, or I did B'dikas Chametz, because it's only Din Rabbana. Definitely there are kulas that are still associated with B'dikas Chametz, but maybe things that have to do more directly with issues of Safek, maybe they don't apply Lekula to B'dikas Chametz. Maybe Dafka they're Lechumra, because B'dikas Chametz is Nitkan ala Safek. So I think that that's also another way to explain this phenomenon. Then we have the opposite phenomenon, and that is the Rambam, at least is my reading of the Rambam. The Rambam is unusual in that he paskins the Gemara. Now, typically being paskining the Gemara is not unusual. You know, we, you know, are troubled by Rambams that seem to oppose the Gemara. But the Gemara here never really comes to a conclusion. The Gemara is a safek. Was B'dikas Chametz a rove, right? When the masker hands over to the socher, is there a rove? Can we rely on the fact? Is there a cheskas baduk? The Gemara is mistapik, yes or no. The Gemara tried to bring a raya. Initially, the raya they thought they had was to prove that it's becheskas baduk. But in the end of the Gemara, we're actually no better off than when we began with the safek. Every raya that is brought in both directions is nidcha. That's the case. Then how does the Rambam know in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, to paskin a masker by a stam Piyodalid is the bottom of page, the beginning of page two for you. Hareza Becheskas Baduk. How does he know it? That's question number one. And question number two was the next line, the Eino Tzarech Livdok. How come the Rambam doesn't mention that if the maskir is present, then you're obligated to ask him? Right? The Gemara says, Am I Nafkamina Velishaylai? Those are two questions in the Rambam. So I was just asking a third question, and that is that the second question is particularly problematic in light of the fact that the Rambam himself unequivocally requires Vilishaile, Efshilavar Tzarech Levarer, in Shchita, Roben Tzoyneitz Shchita, Mumchenheim. So if we require, according to the Rambam, typically this extra level, you shouldn't rely on a mechanism or method of birur or hakra'a when you have a better way of, you know, checking the facts. If that's his general view, why is Bidikas Chametz different?
But you see in the Rambam himself in that halacha, yeah, Beferish, you see why Bidikas Chametz is different, because he says Beferish, which is not the normative halacha. Normally in halacha, ketanim are never accepted. Yet right. The Rambam continues and says how a katan is believed. So you see, and he's the Rambam's holding, not like we said that maybe you need a stricter form of looking at bedikah as a stricter form. He's looking at bedikah as the least.
Correct. Good. Correct. So that's what I was saying last week a little bit. Mihamnu rabbanan bidrabbanan. That's what he's quoting.
But it's more than that. I mean, the fact that Rambam continues that same halacha about a katan. And constantly says,
well, no, the Gemara says that's the Gemara.
Right.
Says.
I'm saying the Rambam puts it together. So
yeah. I agree 100%. So that's why, and that, I think that answers the first point too, as well. At least some of the Rishonim say this for the first point. They just don't say it for the second point. But I think the Bach already understands it maybe that way for the second point. Meaning the Gemara starts off treating Bdikas Chametz just as a din. Not as a din drabbanan per se, when it asks its original question. And they try to, I'm also trying to explain in the Shakavatari of the Gemara. So the Gemara goes back and forth. Maybe you could prove it this way. Maybe you could prove it the opposite way. The Gemara basically is stymied. But that same Gemara is the Gemara that says, by the way, how do you believe the Kata? And the Gemara says, Hemdu Rabbana Bidrabbana. And you're right. The Rambam integrates that into this very halacha. So in my opinion, that solves all both problems. In other words, number one, how did the Rambam know to paskin that it's Becheskas Baduk? So some Rishonim say, yeah, it's a big problem. But maybe because in the end of the day, we couldn't be poshet one way or another in the Gemara, so maybe he's falling back on Sveka Drabbana Lekula. So then the next question which we're asking is, which is, what happened to Vilashailai? Especially given Hilchos Shchita. The answer is, you know, as exactly what you said, that's what I was trying to say, that it's true. You know, if this were a din d'oraisa, or even if it were a very chum or d'rabbanan in this regard, then maybe we would apply the regular laws, canons of Safek and Efshel Avarer. But because, for the very same reason that we were poshet, even though the Gemara didn't, we're also going to drop Vilashaile. Either Gemara itself said Vilashaile about Bedikas Chametz. Here's what I'm saying, what I'm adding. And that is, yes, that's before the Gemara said Hemdu Rabbanan Bidrabbanan. That's when the Gemara was treating the question. Of course, the Gemara knew Bedikas Chametz is Rabbanan, but they weren't treating it as that, you know, as being a crucial factor. They were asking the question on its own merits. They were saying, from a rove point of view itself, is the maskir likely to have done the bedika? A. B, can you rely on that even when you can ask? Right? And the Gemara said, you can't be poshet. We don't know. We just don't know. We can't figure it out one way or another. There's no evidence from the texts, from the brises. But then the Rambam came to paskining. So the Rambam said, okay, there's no evidence one way or another. But it, in the end of the day, the end of the sugya makes unequivocal that Bedikas Chametz is Drabbanan. and amnu rabbanan bidrabbanan, even for katan. So now, in light of that, let's relook at this halacha. We don't know one way or another, and therefore we're going to paskin l'kula. But once we're paskining l'kula because of the dindrabbanan, then what the Gemara said originally when it was treating it on its own merits no longer applies. So then we conclude that not only are we going to rely on the chazaka, but there's no v'lishayla either. It's exactly, I'm agreeing with you. Okay, so that is, so it's just an interesting phenomenon that the law, I mean, this part isn't the interesting part. Most of the Rishonim are just, you know, they're in line with what they normally say. The Ritva is out of line, but l'chumra on bedikas chametz here, or at least on the chazaka. And the Rambam is out of line, but in exactly the opposite direction, right? He is actually more mekel here in bedikas chametz. Okay, so now I want to just finish up with the Bach and Beis Yosef.
That started the lesson of the Rambam, just parenthetically, why does the Rambam talk about bedikas chametz and then the same line, Ne'emanim al bir chametz, which is a din d'oraisa, and then he says, Hakol k'shem l'bedika. He interchanges bir and bedika in the same halacha. And bir is definitely d'oraisa.
Well, I think that the Rambam here means bedika, even though he uses the word biur, in the same way that the bracha that we make on bedikas chametz is biur. First of all, it's a good question. I hadn't thought of it before, but I'll tell you what I think. I think the Rambam here means bedika by biur, in the same way we say al biur chametz. And I'll just add that the Rambam only this doesn't discuss biur chametz at all in Perek Beis of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. He only really discusses bir chametz, I mean real bir chametz, in Perek Gimel, towards the end. So that's one of the reasons why I think that the word biur here means bedika, like in the bracha. And like, I think I mentioned it in the name of some Rishonim already, like biarti hakodesh, you know, menabayis. You know, not tashmasasa b'chol davar, certainly not sreifa, which Rambam is paskin that way. But, right, because it's not true that I call them on him al biur chametz. Temnu Rabban, Gemara says it's based on Temnu Rabbanan, you know, Adrabanan. So it's an interesting linguistic point. I guess it further reinforces the fact that the Rambam plays down biur chametz as well by kind of, you know, consigning it to Perek Gimel. The whole Perek Beis of Hilchos Chametz Matzah is about Tashbisu in the beginning and then Bedika. And Tashbisu for the Rambam is Bittel in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph and Beis. For most Rishonim, or for the Rambam, let me say it this way. For Bali Tosis, the word Tashbisu, we'll get to this very soon, it's our next topic. The word Tashbisu means Biur. For Rashi, we discussed this earlier in the year. For Rashi, and the Ran and the Ramban and so on, the word Tashbisu means Bittel and Biur. But for the Rambam, it seems like the word Tashbisu means Bittel alone. That's what he says in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis. He doesn't mention Biur. Unless you have the Girsa, there's a Girsa in the Rambam that distinguishes between Chametz Yadua and Chametz She'eni Yadua. According to that Girsa, the Chametz Yadua, if you know there's Chametz there, then you have to do Biur. But it doesn't, that's, I think the Chachmei Provence had that Girsa in the Rambam. It doesn't really seem to be the proper Girsa. In which case, the first time the Rambam ever mentions real Biur Chametz is in Perek Gimel, not in Perek Beis. So here, obviously, he's just using it in the same way of the bracha. But I think that the reason he does that is because bedika is a constant. Biur is, you know, kind of a more peripheral, you know, concept, you know, in the Rambam in general. But it's a good hara. Shkoach. Okay, one final thing before we move on, and that's to the Bach and Beis Yosef I just want to revisit that for a minute. This is on page 2. I mentioned, I think, last time that the Beis Yosef in Siman Taf Lamed Zayin, when he discusses this question of Efshe Levar Tzarech Levarer, so he asks a question from Behema Vim Tomar. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Vim Tomar, Ki Isalamat, this is 3 lines from the bottom of the Beis Yosef. Everybody have that? What line is that? From
16, page 2.
Oh, 16. Okay. Thank you. Ki isa l'masker kabana mai. So it's like, why do you have to ask the masker if he's present? Maishna mi behema, the isa kaman, you have a behema, it's present. If you have an animal and you shecht it, you eat it, you don't have to check it for treifas. Why not? Efshelvar. So the Rabbi Yosef says, Yeshlomar, the shiny behema she becheskas ksheira mishanolda. The case of a behema, it's born healthy, that's the assumption. Of a bias, kolashana bechetzka shena badaku. Okay? A bias is bechetzka, interesting. He doesn't say that it's bechetzka, that there's chametz there. There are 2 things that the Beis Yosef says that are interesting here. First is that shiny behemah she bechetzka ksheira mishanolda. What he's saying is, in a way, very parallel to what the Ritva said, although coming from the opposite direction, right? The Ritva was saying, you don't have to ask, typically. I hear you have to ask. In kol hachazak hashavos. Beis Yosef is asking from the opposite side. You usually have to ask. How come you don't have to ask in treifas? What's the answer? Here you don't have to ask. Right? Because it's Becheskas Ksheira Mishanolda. In Kalachazakos Shavos. Okay. But now we need to know, you need to fill in the blanks. Like, what does that mean? Clearly, it's not about the numbers. So, what is it about? So, this confirms a little bit. So, there are 2 Chidushim in the Beis Yosef, I think. Number 1, this distinction. This confirms a little bit what I was saying before, at the outset, when I was giving a sketch of the halakha's view. What I was saying was, it's not all about the numbers. It's not all actuarial. It's not about probability alone. Obviously, the halakha, because it is also formalistic, right, it also cares about how these mechanisms work. So no one is saying that the probability in trefa, that there's a problem of trefa, is any different than the probability of shechita or bedika, right? The Beis Yosef is saying that the fact that it's mishanolda, that makes all the difference. So either it means that it's a more natural, one of the distinctions I made before between conventional probability and natural probability. Something like that. This is a natural one. It goes by human nature. Or not human, actually. Animal nature. Medical, proclivities. But I think maybe what the Beis Yosef had in mind was something else. And that is what I started off with. If you remember, when we started off, we said that the Gemara is mistapek whether the maskir who hands over the house to the socher, is a becheskas paduk, right? But I mentioned that's not a really chazaka. It's a bit of a mis, misnomer. It's really a rove. It's just it's aruba delesa kaman, meaning how often in the trade-off or in the handover between the masker and the socher is the masker likely to have completed a bedika? We want to know. That's all. There's no muksakus, because there's no mukso. He's not muksak. The property is not becheskas baduk until somebody did a bedika. Right? So they're calling it chazaka, but what really is it, rov? On the other hand, you want a great example of status quo ante, muksak? The trefa problem is a great example. An animal is born healthy, and then it develops, you know, malignancies or pathologies, you know, all organisms, you know, as they live, you know, they begin to develop, you know, problems. So basically there we're dealing with a mukzakus of healthiness, not omeid lamus. The question is, when did that change? Or did that change? So maybe the distinction in the Beis Yosef is not between a natural and an unnatural or a conventional basis. Excuse me. Maybe it's based on the difference between rov and chazaka. Except that this raises a very fascinating question, I think. And that is as follows. We have a rule that the Gemara quotes in numerous places that's called ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. Meaning, if there's a clash between a rov and a chazaka, muksakus, a real chazaka meaning, which wins out? Does the rov tells you heter and the muksakus tells you isra or vice versa? In the clash between a rov and a chazaka, which wins out? Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. Is it conceivable that rov in a head-to-head clash beats chazaka, but that when it comes to chazaka, efshelavar ain't tzarech levar, but when it comes to rov, efshelavar tzarech levar? I mean, which is stronger, which is weaker? You would have thought that whichever is more effective, whichever is more compelling, whichever is stronger, right, is both going to win a battle and going to be more self-sufficient, namely, not require greater clarification, right? Here, if we interpret, either in this particular case or based on other evidence, if we want to suggest a distinction between rov and chazaka in this direction, that will defy that. So what it may mean, though, is that, and this is something which, again, I've spoken of many times, but you can never predict the halacha, meaning the halacha is complicated. Who wins a battle, right, in a head-to-head struggle? By the way, this is true in life and in war. Who wins a head-to-head struggle is not always indicative of the standalone character and effectiveness of the mechanism. It could be, to put it the way the Rif puts it in a different place, that whenever a rov clashes with a chazaka, it's not that rov is stronger than chazaka, more compelling. It's that the rov dictates that the chazaka becomes irrelevant. It becomes obsolete. Right? The rov says, you know, it's not, you know, shayach to talk about this chazak anymore because it's only in a myriad of cases. So it's not that rov is more compelling than chazaka. It's that when you have a chazaka in the context of a rov, it's rendered irrelevant. But if you're talking about the standalone effectiveness of Rov and the standalone effectiveness of Chazaka, it's very possible that Chazaka is more powerful in some respects. That's just one example of the way to get out of this. Meaning, what I'm suggesting is, again, you have, you know, some people are, you know, you put, you know, in a struggle between two forces, you know, one might win because he's particularly adept or equipped, or, you know, he can exploit, A can exploit the, you know, the Achilles heel of B. But in all other respects, it's not stronger. Maybe it's weaker. Or when it comes to Efshel Levar and Tzarech Levar, there may be some element, some ingredient in Chazaka, you know, that makes it particularly independent. But either way, that might be the pshat in the Beis Yosef. The Bach himself, interestingly enough, rejects. Oh, I'm sorry. That's number one. This, before I forget. The second point of Beis Yosef that's interesting is the way he contrasts it to Bedikas Chametz. What does he say? Avabayis kol hashana becheskas sheino baduk. Interesting. It doesn't say that there's Chametz there. Because that isn't the issue. The issue is whether there was a Bedika or not. But it's an interesting formulation. We'll get back to it. The Bach disagrees with the Beis Yosef on the Trefa case. And he says as follows. Look at the next piece, Bach. But look at the second paragraph. What number is that? Was that the 37?
Yeah, 36.
36. Kasa Beis Yosef, he quotes, Tomar ki salamaska kaman, amay shalina v'lo samchina chazaka, may shno b'behema, yishom b'leshayni behema, shvi b'chatzkos k'sher m'shinolda, abayis kol shana b'chatzkos k'sher n'bodek, ad kan l'shona. Just a quote. Says the Bach, v'lo yadati tamo. I don't know what he means. T'kivin samchina al chazkaso baduk kishena lefanenu, if the assumption is when you have no alternative to find out that there's a chazkas bedika, im ken kishena lefanenu nami. So what do you mean it's bechazkas shena baduk? V'lo av chazaka gemura, unless you say it's like a mediocre or a second rate chazaka. Im kain, gam be'enu lefanenu netzuchinu livdok. Then you should follow him and find other ways to do bedika, not rely on the chazaka ever. I think it's a very strange question of the Bach, to be honest. I mean, you can have a chazaka which works bedieved and not lechatchila. Let's really see the problem. But more important is his solution. Efshar shayidei shum siba. So just like the Beis Yosef suggested a distinction regarding this pivotal question that has nothing to do with the quality of the probability, so too the Bach, who's critical of the Beis Yosef's distinction, proposes another one that also has nothing to do with the quality or the quantity of the probability. What's the distinction? The distinction is whether or not the chazaka relies upon a change or it sustains the status quo. What he says is that aside from the question of probability, meaning maybe whatever the probability is the same. It's all in both cases, it's exactly 82%. Okay? But in one case, the 82% establishes a change, a kumvase, a bedika. The maskir took initiative and he cleansed his home or he searched his home. In the other case, the 82% is that there's no problem of trefa and the animal which we are about to shecht, you know, which we didn't investigate. In both cases, there's 82% likelihood of a good outcome. But in one case, the 82% is based on initiative, and the other case, it's based on status quo. Says the Bach, that's going to determine whether Efshe Levar, Tzarech Levar. Once again, what we see is that in addition to numbers, right, the question of what constitutes what we call a hachra'a or a birur or a lack of leidus hasafek, namely, whether or not we just have a mechanism to arbitrarily decide this case based on the objective data of all cases. Solution number one. Solution number three. We perceive this as if there's not even a safek. We've resolved it so overwhelmingly that the satisfaction with the resolution is such that we no longer deem it, you know, as being even doubtful. And the middle, number two, option. This is a satisfactory, specific clarification or a likely clarification of this case. That based not on numbers. But for the Bach, it is also going to be based on whether we're dealing with an initiative or a maintenance of status quo. Okay? That's a very important idea as well. Okay. Having said that, there's one other issue I wanted to bring up. And that is a question of Cheskas Iser. The Rama in Yoredeya, look here on page 3. If you first of all look at the, it says Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Hilchosayin Nesach, Simin Kuf Kav Zayin. That's page 3, what number?
17.
Here you have, the Rama has a bit of a summary of the laws of Edechon Neman Bisurim. Kuf Chav Zayin in Yoredeya is like the locus classicus in the poskim for Edechon Neman Bisurim. So the Rama says, Edechon Neman Bisurim, Lahatir of Lahachmir, right? We're more reliant on Edechon Lahatir, not Lahachmir. He has a whole bunch of rules. In the very end, he says, this is 3 lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line. V'imeid al isa drabanan lahakel. Do you have that line?
30?
Yeah. If he's made on an isa drabanan lahakel, leniently, v'lo is chazak isura, and it's not plagued by his chazak isura, meaning there's no previous status quo of iser, kegom bedikas chametz, like bedikas chametz, neman. Then the eidachon will be neman. This is basically his understanding of our Gemara. Dehamnu rabbanan bedrabbanan. Okay? Aval, im is chazak isura, eino, Neman klal. If it's keneged is chazak isura, if this statement is being made contrary to the previous status quo, it doesn't work. What's shocking about this Rama? His depiction of bedikas chametz as what? a situation of lois chazak isura, meaning there's no previous negative status quo. Look at the piece above, Magen Avraham Siman Tav Lamed Zayin Sif Katan Ches. Okay? Everybody have that? Go to the middle of the piece. B'tzarech Iyan Al Arama Shekasa B'Yaradeya. Right? What line is that?
13.
What?
13.
Thank you. So Tsarchin al Ramah, Shakasabi Yordaya Simon Kovkav Zayin, the Chametz lo Chazak Isura, Ulafikach Namanim. The Chametz is Chazak Isura. Can't say it any more simply, right? Or powerfully. He says, what are you talking about? Kabosha Katsava Rivash Behedja. Elishiyesh Namanim Mishum Shubiyada. What do you mean Chametz is not its Chazak Yisura? Didn't the Beis Yosef, when he was distinguishing between Treifa and Bedikas Chametz, say, but Bedikas Chametz, right? I mean, all year round, you have Chametz in that place. It's Becheska Sheina Baduk. So what does Rama mean when he says it's always Chazak Yisura? And the Magen Avraham says, what are you talking about? He doesn't even need to explain it. He just says, Chametz is Chazak Yisura, although he brings a raya from the Rivash. I think it's a fascinating question. And I think it can be explained on two levels. If you look at Be'en of Chametz, you could say, well, maybe there, if we don't know for sure that there's Chametz in this place, maybe it's always Chazak Yisura. But do we really need to know that there's no chametz in the place? Is that really what, you know, is determinate? That's really what's koveya? And it goes back to the question that we discussed other times, and that is, what is the fundamental mitzvah of bedikas chametz? Is it to search and to find chametz? Or is it to turn your home into a chametz-free zone, to create the imprimatur of a makom baduk? Right? There's a big discussion when it comes to bedikas chametz, which is less than 2 weeks away. So there's a big issue in bedikas chametz about hefsek. Right? We're generally makbid that if you make a bracha, you make a bracha of bir chametz, like we were talking about before. The general, you know, the chatchila certainly, the kpeda, not to be mafsik until the end of the bedika. That's number one. Number two, there's a practice in Klal Yisrael to put out pieces of chametz. And what's that based on? It sounds like both of them are based on finding the chametz, right? Or finding all of the chametz. And therefore there's a suffix, if you weren't going to find anything, it would be a bracha levatala. So there's a hefsek issue and a bracha levatala issue. The Gra says this practice of putting out chametz is not really a din of bracha levatala at all. Why? Because as the bracha and the din drabanan of bedika is a chiv to do bedika. It's a search. Doesn't mean to find. You could go further. Maybe it's not just a search, right, as opposed to find as like a means to the biur. Like some people think that, you know, bedika is a hechsher. It's a step one for biur. That's according to them why you make the bracha bedikas. I'll be your chametz, even though you're doing bedika. Because it's tchilas or hechsher, right? Lebir. Okay. Then you really have to find. But if we say that the word bir means biarti akodesh min abayis, and if we say that the main point of Bedikas Chametz is to establish that the makom is a makom baduk or panui min hachametz. So it's not so important to find chametz at all. And you don't need to find chametz in order to be able to burn it. You have to go through the process of bedikas chametz in order to establish that the zone is a chametz-free zone. Right? Again, that might be actually more of a reason, you know, not like, let's say you make a bracha and then you find a piece of chametz. Why do you have to wait till you find every piece of chametz? If it's just, you know, but if you have to wait, if the idea is to make your makom into a makom apandu imen chametz, right, into a chametz free zone, right, you don't have that until the end. So on the one hand, the chippus begins right away. It's not about the be'en at all. It's all about the process. But the search, the beginning of the search, or the conclusion, when you can impose that new status of makom baduk. Interesting question. Either way, you don't need, you know, to find, so you don't need the pieces. I mean, in Minhag Yisrael, we do it. I also think that even if you take the view that it's a chametz-free zone, maybe you need pieces there in order to establish that it's a real bedika. Maybe that's a way of creating the chalos by kumbaduk. You know there was chametz, and you know you found it. So that is a more intense level. It's a shiur in the bedika, and the fact that it's now makom panu. You formally made it into a makom panu. Min hachametz, because it was chametz there, both in terms of the quality of the bedika, as well as even just the transition.
When do you make a brach on a hechsher mitzvah? When do you make a brach on a hechsher mitzvah?
Yeah, good question. Good question. So, I mean, we have things, you know, it's a mitzvah drabana. So it's clearly, the way the Ram quotes it, it's a mitzvah divrei sofer, perek beis, you know, halacha gimel. But I only mean that this mitzvah d'rabbanan is a hechsher to the mitzvah d'oraisa. But it's a good question anyway. I mean, some people talk about, you know, binyan sukkah as a hechsher mitzvah. The Yerushalmi has a bracha for hechsheri mitzvah. When you put together your tefillin, when you put together your tzitzis, when you put together the dalad minim, when you build a sukkah. Normally, the Bavli does not. They only kind of attach Shechayanu to the building of a Chafza or Hechsher. So you're right. But I think here it's a little bit different because it's a standalone Mitzvah Drabbanan. But the Mitzvah Drabbanan is a Hechsher, maybe, for the beer. But according to what I'm saying now, and I think many views, and this is something we talked about a couple of weeks back, maybe not. It has nothing to do with beer. It's Biyarti HaKadosh Min HaBayis. It's establishing the same. Anyway, why am I telling all this? That's one approach to the question. Is there a Skazik Isura of Chametz? Is it Becheskas Baduk? It's not a question whether, you know, only whether, you know, there is or wasn't Chametz in the premises. Let's say there's never Chametz in the premises, but it's a Mako, or you don't know for a fact there's ever Chametz in the premises. But it's a makom shemachnisim bo zachametz. It's still ischazik isura because it's not a makom baduk. If you need a makom baduk, right, then for all intents and purposes, it's a makom sheischazik isura. Not on the be'en of chametz, but on the fact that it wasn't until now a makom apanui min hachametz. That's issue number one. Issue number two touches on a massive topic. Let me just mention it quickly. That is, let's talk about the be'en itself and the likelihood that there was chametz in this place. Fine. If we're talking about the physical entity of what we call chametz, then certainly you could make the case that it's becheskas iser. However, is there really a shame chametz is our status of chametz, right, all year round or earlier, you know, than Yom Yadalid or maybe Yom Yadalid and Chatos. That's a formal legal halachic question, which is complicated. Meaning, let me explain. I began the year by discussing the fact that chametz is an Isur Zman. Meaning, as we know, all year round, it's perfectly legitimate to eat chametz, not b'diavad. All of a sudden, on chametz, it becomes this toxic, you know, substance, the equivalent almost of Yetzer Hara or Avodah Zara, Sor Shabisa, all those things. Like, what are we to make of that? And we discussed different approaches to it. So the interesting question is, you know, in the Mikdash, there's chametz all year round because you're not allowed to be bringing, you know, menachos and so on from chametz, with the exception of a fraction of the korban todah and the korban shtei lechem. Otherwise, kol seor v'chol dvash, you're not allowed to bring on the mizbeach. So the shame chametz exists in the mikdash all year round. But does it exist bigvulit? Meaning, in chutzaretz, in outside of the mikdash all year round, is there an entity called chametz? Or, as long as it's inconsequential, except in the mikdash, we don't call it chametz, we call it chameshus aminim. Right? It could be in the form of matzah, it could be in the form of what we call chametz. But it doesn't register, because outside of the mikdash and outside of the holiday of Pesach or Chagamatzos, right, there's no consequence to whether you made your, you know, whether you made your chametz aminim in 18 minutes or, you know, or with leaven or with sore, etc. So the interesting question is, this part of the question of Isur Zman, one way you could say, listen, there's not so much, there is a consequence all year round in the Mikdash. And okay, we don't live in the Mikdash. And then Kol Shekein Bizman Hazeh, there is no Mikdash. Right? As for Pesach, for those 7 days, there's a shame chametz, because of chametz and matzah. But as far as the rest of the year is concerned, we don't really view it as chametz. We view it as dagon, chametz aminim, or no. Either because of the mikdash, even bizman hazeh, or separate from just the fact of Pesach. Since on Pesach every year, this is going to become a problem. So the definition of chametz exists. There's just no consequence to it.
Wouldn't there be a consequence for Nedarim? If someone said, I refuse, I'm not going to eat chametz. You have that whole year round. It's a shame, well, chametz.
In Nedarim is Hochanachal Lashon B'nei Adam.
Right. So we see the Lashon B'nei Adam calls it chametz.
No. There's no question that people call it chametz. I'm asking, you'll see in a moment, I'm asking more in formal. I think Nedarim is something to look at, but because we usually say that Nedarim Hochanachal Lashon B'nei Adam, everybody knows what the person means, I don't have any doubt that everybody would agree, you know, that wouldn't be a nafkamina. But there are nafkamina, and I'll give you, just mention very quickly a couple.
We mentioned this in the beginning of the year about chametz. The first few shurim, you mentioned the same thing about chametz. What is chametz? Does it have to only relate to Pesach, or is it also the whole year round?
Yeah, no, of course. I just mentioned.
So I asked you then also, but in Manish Tana, we say shonochlem chametz umatzah.
Yeah.
We have the same chametz, like the.
No, right. Okay, but we're saying that on Pesach.
That's consistent with what I'm saying about Nedarim, but you're saying it's not how lofty.
Right. So I'll give you a couple examples very quickly. If you look at the Gemara in Pesach and Daf Lamed, right, the Gemara famously, I may have mentioned this in the beginning of the year also. I know I didn't go into detail of it, but I may have mentioned it. The Gemara speaks about, you know, Hagala and Libun. Right? Here. The Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Gemara says, I guess we're coming closer to Shabbos. You know, Parshas HaGadol and Shabbos HaGadol. You know, have the famous piyutim, the otzros of Rabbi Yosef Tavelim about Hagolas Kalim and so on. So the Gemara here says that if you look here towards the middle, about the third way down the page, the Gemara says, Omar le Ravina le Ravashi, Hanasakini bepischa hechavdina lehu. What do you do with knives or cutlery, basically, on Pesach? The Gemara says, Amar le, Lididi chadasa kavdinan. I have special Pesach cutlery. So the Gemara says, Amar le tenach, Amar le tenach, mar, the Epshalon, Baruch Hashem, says your stocks do well, you're in a position to afford it. But the Lo'ev Shalemai, not everybody can have separate utensils for Pesach. So he says, Amaleana Kein Chadasa Kamina. I didn't mean you have to buy new cutlery, I meant like new. Katayu Betina Parzalayu Benura, Bahadamai Lidle Katayu Berotchin. So, meaning you expel the Blias Iser of the Chametz. The Gemara says, Hilchasa Idiviyadi. Okay. So if you look at the Gemara goes on. If you look at Tosas says, excuse me, Tema, Tanya b'tosefta, davarazara, hasakin ashbuda askala, malabdan ba'or, uperakam b'dechulin, omar kagon shalibnar ba'or. We actually discussed this at the very end of the Shiur ben Chul last year. Amutzar chlibun. The Gemara here seems to say that you can kasher kalim for Pesach with hagala, rotchin, hot water, boiling water. But the Gemara, the Braisa and the Avodah Zarah and the Chulin seem to say you need libun. Libun means you blowtorch it. I mean, you have to burn it out. Burning it out is far more demanding than simply, boiling it out. Oh, so the Gemara says, "V'tir tarbeinu tam, tarbeinu Yerushalmi, my ribasakinim arukim, should solem ben basar, do b'deshvud." B'chein ahu dechulin. It's talking about it depends on the kind of kalim. We have a rule when it comes to hechsher kalim. The rule is kigbolo kach polto, which means, however, the blia. If the blia was through fire, then the plita, then the expulsion of the blia should also be that way. If it entered more gently, less comprehensively, through boiling water, kibolo kachpolt, you can get rid of it that way too. That's the first answer of Tosas. Then Tosas says, v'od yesh l'chalek, b'na teira bala, b'na isura bala, k'n b'chalek ravashi, b'shili avon azara. V'od ma'atzrech, okay, so Tosas here says what Tosas says in Avodah Zarah. Excuse me. Ayin Hey and Ayin Vav. And that is that there's another distinction. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says the following. The Gemara there has a stira. Again, it seems like certain times you can be machshir kalim through Agala. And sometimes you require libun. So the Gemara says, kan isura bala, kan hatera bala. It depends. If it was nivla bi isur, right? If what was nivla on the kli was a chepta shal isur, then to get it out, you need libun. If it's hatera, it's very similar to the previous topic we were discussing in one way, and that is, the quality of expelling, whatever this absorption is, doesn't change whether legally it's hetera bala or isura bala. These are halachic categories, right? If it was nivla be'isar, then you need libun, right? If it was nivla be'heter, then you need a lesser, you know, purging, and you can do that with agala. What are the two cases of the Gemara that they make this distinction of? The Gemara has one case of what is something that absorbed, a kli that absorbed avodah zara, which is osur b'achila and hana, of course. What's the second case? If you cooked in the Beis HaMikdash, karbanos, right? So now it's no sar, because after the requisite timing, you know, has passed, so inside the kli, right, the absorption, right, now is no sar. So the Gemara says, avodah zara is isura bala, that requires libun. No sar is hetera bala, because when originally it came into the kli, it was basar kadshim, it's not asar. It was within the time zone of eating it. But now it's after the time zone. So since it was nivla beheter, even now it's inside the kli, it's bedofnia kli, and now it's iser. But since the initial blia was beheter, you can get away with hagala, you don't need libun. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Oh, so if you look at what is Tosa saying, Tosa is saying chametz is a terabala, right? Like nosar, not like nosar, like basar kachim. And therefore, you can get away with hagala, even if it was nivla al yidei ha'or. The Ramban in Avodah Zarah, it's also quoted here in the Ran, on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, right in the back of the Gemara on this staff, disagrees. Ramban says, I'm going to try to conclude in a minute, trying not to go as much over time. So the Ramban says that Chametz is also Isura Bala. I'm sorry. Chametz is also Isura Bala. Sorry. Yeah. Not a Tera Bala. What's the argument? The Rav used to quote this argument a lot to speak about this issue. He thought it connected to Tavrish Shlomat Tirin. It certainly connects to another argument about what we call not bar not, no sin tam bar no sin tam, which also depends on the Tera and Isura Bala. Well, what's the argument? So the Ramban says the following, very brilliant ha'ara. Ramban says, listen, no sar is a terabala. You know why? Because it wasn't nivla's nosar. It was nivla's basar. It was basar kachim. You baked, you cooked it in the kli, in the pot, whatever it is, right? It was heter gamur. Then it changed its name, its identity. It became nosar after it was chutz lizmano. So it was nivla as basar, right? And now it's something else. Now it's isar, but it wasn't nivla as nosar. There was no shame nosar. Bishas blia. But chametz, says the Ramban, you know, chametz can be asar and chametz can be mutter, but it's still chametz. When it was nivla on the kli, the heter, it was still shame chametz, which is going to be Asur on Pesach. Not a different shame, not a different identity. In the case of Nosar, you have Basar, Bishas Blia, and then 2 days later, or a day and a half later, whatever it is, you know, when it's already present in the Kli, has a different, it mutes, mutates, or transforms, transmutes into Nosar. That's a Terabala. But this is chametz beheter. Now it's chametz beiser. So from the iser point of view, it still was nivla as chametz. That's the argument of the Ramban. What is Tosfos' argument? Hard to know. Hard to know. But maybe what Tosfos is saying is, who says that chametz is the same shame? Maybe all year round, chametz isn't chametz. Chametz is dagon, or lechem, whatever you want to call it, or chameshes aminim. Maybe the only time outside of the mikdash when the shame chametz is significant is at chatzos, erev chagamatzos, or actually, maybe even earlier, maybe in the morning of that day. But before that, you know, it looks like it doesn't look like basar nosar. But legally and formally it is. It's basar nosar. It's chametz shel heter, right? And now it's chametz shel iser. There's like two different chafzas. The way the Rav wanted to say some of this was, chametz goes in and out of Isurim and Heterim, or is a matir. It's a little bit different than what I was saying, the way I was saying it, but it comes out the same way for these purposes. What I'm saying is maybe there's no shame chametz all year round. There's a shame chameshes aminim. And the Rav's saying a little bit different. He's saying maybe all year round there's a matir. Motzai Pesach, right? The motzai yom tov of after Pesach is matir chametz, and all year round it's a chepsa shel heter, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get to chatzos or whatever on yudalad Nisan, and that zman is oser the chametz. But it's like two different entities. Whereas for the Ramban, it's more like it's in Yisr's mind. It's in and out of Yisr all the time. And therefore, the fact that it's going to be, it's the same Chepza. Why am I telling you all this? What does that have to do with anything? Oh, so I think this is a very interesting argument. Another way to look at the interesting argument between the Ramah and the Magen Avraham. The Rama insists that that bidikas chametz there's no manus because it's not connected to chazak isura. And the Magen Avraham says, "What are you talking about? Of course, it's cheskas isura." So one suggestion I was making before was maybe this depends on the presence of chametz or the need for a bayis baduk. Vada isn't a bayis baduk until you do bidika. But you don't know for sure that there's chametz there. That's one way. Maybe the other way is that it depends on this issue, which I think touches a lot of things. And that is, of course there's chametz all year round. But does it have a shame chametz? Right? Or is it the same chametz that we're worried about, you know, on the night of Yadalid, on the day of Yadalid? Certainly in the afternoon of Yadalid. Maybe it's a different, it's considered a different end. You only begins when the Easter itself begins. Of course, we know this with the Kardad, it's not the same, but the Easter Mashu is a big discussion. When does the Easter Mashu of Chametz begin? Right? Obviously Chametz, which is Nivla and something all year round, there's no Easter Mashu. Batel. But what about, you know, the morning of Yadalan? And what about Chatzos? Or is it only when there's Kares, you know, in Yom Tezvav? Okay. I thought we'd get, you know.
I'll leave it to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, Chamesh Avel of Pesach, you have it around. Is that considered a Chetz Shalisa and therefore you would need Libun? Because that is Chametz, even though it's after Pesach.
That's a really good question. I think if you have like Rabbi Yehuda, that the
Dino
is Daraisa, then that would be a really strong.
Right. That's a very strong. I'm saying even if it's still a Kashalisa, it has even the Rabbanim make it into a
Right. But the Gemara does say knas konsinu. I think there's still interesting issues about how to understand that din derabanan. But I would also, my first muskal rishon would be maybe to be mechalek between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's a good point.